Blog Talk Radio.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific. 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper, and I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Patriot Education. My name is Terry Rowland, and I'm your hostess for this evening. I must apologize for the fact that I don't have much of a voice, not simply because I don't have it, and I certainly don't apologize for the way I lost it, but I know it might be a little difficult to hear me, so I'll do my very best to keep this at a volume level where everybody can know that I'm really there. Our topic tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is education and community. One of the reasons why we have the controversy that we do right now over the federal government's desire to institute Common Core is that it violates our concept of a community school. As far back as the beginning of our nation, when everyone basically either hired private tutors if they were wealthy, or they paid a member of the community to teach their youngsters to read and write if they were not, the school has been the community's method of making sure that the children learn the academic skills they would need in order to be functioning citizens and understand and be able to communicate the meaning of the nation in which they lived and engage themselves in the pursuit of happiness as much as they could. Common Core and the progressive idea of education wants to eliminate that connection between parents, students, and schools that was part of the founding of this nation and one of the many reasons we have become as powerful, as innovative, and as wealthy as we are. Our hope for the future is our children. None of us is immortal. Every single one of us is hoping that we will leave behind a legacy of liberty And in order to do that, we look to our children and their children after them to carry it on. Part of that liberty is understanding the right of people to gather together, to speak their minds, to seek redress of grievances from their government as a community, not necessarily geographic, but a community of people with similar ideas. Our Patriot family had a magnificent reunion last weekend. We were all part of that community of ideas. Fathers and mothers and grandparents and aunts and uncles and children gathered together to celebrate those things we had in common and enjoy the incredible diversity of where we came from, what our viewpoints were. That's how I lost my voice, folks. I spent 4 days doing nothing but talking. Only managed to squeeze in about 16 hours sleep. Excuse me. But believe me, the sense of community that I felt and that I saw the rest of our family feel, losing a voice is a tiny price to pay for such joy. Not only those members of our community who join us here in the chat room every week or post on our website or on Facebook were there, but their children as well. Their children were learning from all of us while they played games and ran around and swam and sat down around tables and snick-snacked and listened to music. They were learning what it means to be part of a community where individual liberty goes along with individual responsibility, and where people talk with one another about all sorts of subjects, and when they disagreed, they did so with respect. A community where people were interested in being the best example for their children they could, and not just in telling them what they wanted them to do. Every member of that community teaches by example, ladies and gentlemen. And they, like everyone else in a community, want that same kind of teaching in their public or private education. It used to be that if you were a teacher, you were absolutely under a microscope. You still are to a degree. Every single thing you said or did or thought about, if it offended the community standards, you would no longer have your teaching position. This could be a handicap for true learning when the community standards restricted your ability to introduce children to ideas that didn't match those prevalent in the community. That is one of the reasons why we move towards standardizing education across this nation. And like every other good idea, it was taken to ridiculous extremes. Yes, we do need to standardize our education so that no matter where you live, your children can be exposed to ideas, not always the same ideas that you espouse, but ideas that open their minds and open doors for them to help them understand that they will encounter people who think and behave differently from them. And they can learn from them that they need but not be terrified, that they need not be angry simply because someone thought differently. One of the functions of an education is to teach us how to talk with one another, how to communicate what we think and feel and believe. It also gives us a core understanding of the basic skills in history, geography, mathematics, science, language that we need to do this. Currently, our public schools are confused, lost, and bewildered because our teachers are not only under that same microscope that they were in 1860, where if the school teacher showed an ankle, she was immediately fired as having corrupted the morals of youth. And we are also handicapped as teachers because we are being told that students with special problems have the inalienable right to disrupt our classrooms because they can't help it, they are disabled. We are also being told that our efforts must be measured objectively by standardized testing. Whether or not children are carbon copies who all do the same way on everything, who all learn the same way, we are being told that we must individualize the way we present material so that all children will learn to the best of their ability. And yet we are also expected to meet chronological objective standards based on grade level. And if our students do not, if we do not have a, say, 70% pass rate, we are viewed as incompetent, useless, and only in it for the money. That last one would make me laugh if I weren't afraid I'd lose my voice. So you'll have to consider I'm smiling like crazy. There was a bit of a furor on Facebook today over a published budget that apparently was put on YouTube or one of those places that listed a budget for supposedly an hourly worker at McDonald's who might carry a second job. And a lot of the teachers with whom I work were incensed that the amount of money that the hourly worker with his two jobs made per month was less than they take home. And it's understandable, but of course, as always, they ran with a ball. It was not intended to be everybody's budget who works at McDonald's. What the article was about and what McDonald's used it for was to try to help people who had not been taught at home how to budget. And McDonald's mentioned, my friend Linda mentioned, where was the food on that list? Well, one of the things was that the simple budget that they presented was only a guideline. It's basically exactly the same kind of budget that's taught in the old family life classes for the 9th, 10th, and 11th grade. Because so many of these kids have no clue that if you only have X amount of dollars coming in, you can't spend X plus 500 going out. And this was available for McDonald's employees, low-wage employees, who many of whom did not have a high school diploma or never really got any instruction on how to budget their money. It was not intended to be an exact replication of what their typical salary was. There is a very good article about what it was intended to do on The Blaze, which I also put a link to on my Facebook page. But over and above the controversy of this, that, and the other, the teachers were complaining, justifiably, that the kind of budget that they were showing for somebody who worked at McDonald's and had a second job was more than they took home. Well, the comment that I put on is apropos for anybody, either parent or teacher. Education is an intangible, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't give you instant gratification like a new iPhone or a tasty meal or a brand new dress or a new car or a new house. You only see the value of the education your children receive when they become adults and are able to cope on their own. So, because that value isn't immediately apparent, everybody assumes that education is something that teachers are supposed to be able to do merely by waving a wand and keeping a kid in class for 7.5 hours a day, 9 months a year for 12 years, and then automatically that kid will be educated. And you don't get proof of the pudding with grades because we are now told that we shouldn't fail a student because it ruins their self-esteem not to advance to the next grade with their peers. So not only are we paid less than the work requires, we are deliberately told that we must lie to parents about the achievement level of their children, and they aren't going to find out just how dumb this poor kid is until he's 18 and Social Services and Social Security Administration will no longer pay him supplements because he's quote-unquote disabled. And they won't. The educational system has, in its wildly unsuccessful attempts to make a community of the entire nation, failed every individual community in which public schools exist. It is being pulled in two opposite directions, like the famous Mongol method of execution, tying the right hand and right foot of a prisoner to a horse and the left hand and left foot to another horse and having them run in opposite directions. That is what we have right now, ladies and gentlemen, our public education. Community to progressive educators does not mean the place where you live and your neighbors and the shopkeepers who live there and the kids who play with your kids and the folks you meet at church. Community means something entirely different to them. Community means the artificially constructed village of Agenda 21. It doesn't mean you choose the community where you are comfortable and where you share the values of the people in it and the extended family that you find with neighbors and friends and shopkeepers and school teachers and sheriffs or state police or county cops or city cops. It means an artificially constructed cage wherein your children will be indoctrinated into the Agenda 21 values. The one world government agenda that denies the individuality of human beings as individuals, as groups, as families, as nations. Because it is only when we can achieve Agenda 21 groupthink that every single one of us is one single cell in the holy body of Gaia the Earth, subject to the brain cast, which is all of the progressives at the UN, we will be poor lost sheep fumbling about, unable to come in from the rain without the guidance of the Good Shepherd and his dog nipping our heels. That is not the kind of community that our founding fathers envisioned when they were looking at the possibility of public education. Looks like I have a caller online, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's my bird of paradise, Miss Linda. So we'll see if that is she. Hello there.
Hi, it's me.
I figured yeah. It was, darling. Recognize the area code.
Thanks. Well, you know, when you spoke of the community as the founders envisioned it and as the people of those times looked upon community and their values and their church, you know, these were the things that they wanted to identify with. And you know that there were many places that had their own colonies of religions, or when we became states, they had state religions, but they were not allowed to have a federal one. So
correct.
If you didn't like that state, then you moved to the other one where your group was. And everybody
exactly.
pretty much got along. Well, you know, because there was a modicum of freedom. I don't think you and I have ever really experienced freedom yet. However, maybe when we were 10, you know, and then it started going away in the 60s. But this idea of Common Core, which I call indoctrination, and this Agenda 21, which I've studied for eons, denotes collectivism and statism. And the first word that comes to mind on that is Joseph Stalin, because he perfected all of that mess, which is evil. Because he didn't have to herd people into cities with rail cars and high-density, low-income housing. He just transported them so they would die or shot them or starve them to death. He was such a sweet person.
This is what's going on.
This is what's going on. And people cannot connect dots. They don't understand it. I have a friend locally here who's, I mean, I'm just blessed that I finally got through to her because she's seeing it. I mean, she's watching it happen because they're taking the mask off now with the Agenda 21 and trying to get the farms and the private property. And so she says, do me a favor. She says, make some lists for me. And I have the lists already, things I showed you guys out of my folder. And she says, mm-hmm. I'll take the information and I will make a one-sheet bullet point presentation that these clowns can understand and everybody that is, you know, still in the kindergarten here, haven't woken up totally yet, they'll, because you're not going to get them with 2 pages, they'll throw it away. If you just keep mm-hmm. So she's going to help me compile this to explain to these people in our community, literally in our city, what they need to know. Because I need to get them en masse, not just one or two council members, you know. I mean, that will help, but I need to get them en masse so they stand up and do what I do. Instead of me being the only one talking about Agenda 21 in Ickley, I want mm-hmm. 20, 30, 100 people standing up there and talking about it. So,
yes, exactly, and you're perfectly correct. Any person looking for work knows limit your resume to one page because people lose interest.
Right.
Short and
they
sweet.
Do.
And as clear
right.
as possible. You mentioned earlier that the founders' communities with their churches and so on and so forth, they were not allowed to have a federal religion because you had to have the choice that you could leave a state if you didn't like that particular faith,
right.
if it influenced the laws too much, you had somewhere else to go. But
right.
in every community, every village, I hate to use that term because it's been so badly corrupted, but in every community of persons living in the same geographical area, the Center of Entertainment and Information had three parts. Number
mm-hmm.
one, the tavern. Number two, the church. And number three, the
yep.
school. It was in
of
those
course.
Three places that the citizens gathered. The tavern was basically the men's purview, where they could, you know, fuss about their wives and discuss politics. The church was where the families got together and they could tell which family in the community might need help and be able to do so
right.
without, you know, making a public spectacle of someone's
sure.
poverty. And the school, you went to see your kids perform. There were spring programs, fall programs, Christmas
yes.
programs, Easter programs. And everybody in the community, even the folks who didn't have kids, went because there was not the pull away. There was no other real source of entertainment
right.
other than what you could produce. Well, that kind of community centering is not possible in today's technological world. But when you look at it, we've just expanded our communities, Linda. Look
sure.
at the community that we spent a weekend with. That community began online. None of us had ever seen each other before.
I know.
Until some
I
of
know.
Us
it's
met
amazing.
For the 9/12 Restoring Honor Rally. And now we're planning on meeting every year. This is the second reunion. I wasn't able to go to the last one because I had to go
right.
to my actual family by marriage reunion. But the same spirit pervades everything. This is why I chose this topic, because the kind of community that the public education system is fostering with the backing of the UN and the Common Core and all the other crap, global warming, is not the kind of community that we formed with patriot families or that you formed in a small town when you lived in one, as I did, where
sure.
everybody knew everybody. We always
right.
had our weirdos. I'm probably the one for the town I live in. Ask Yolanda and Nick. They've seen my house. But I don't care. I don't live here to please anybody but me. But that idea that somehow or other we have got to homogenize the entire world.
Oh, it's disgusting.
And
this,
make
this
us all.
This is what they've done with the United States. They've
yes.
tried to homogenize every city and every state, and they want to even. It's been evil coming down the pike for a long time.
Yes, it has.
And I believe it started in 74, to my knowledge, in California under regionalism. Believe me.
Yep.
All this quarter is just horrible. I've done as much research as I can, so I can't give it to you in 45 minutes. But, oh, my gosh. You know, you guys saw my folders. That would take me 2 hours to do a presentation, you know, to give you the whole nine yards. But these are things that I've been trying to harp on and try to explain to people. And I know that the health care bill, the stimulus bill, the amnesty, the Common Core nonsense, this is all part of it. This is,
yes, it is.
The thing is, people look at all these different, they do it every time. They do it in City Hall. They drive me up a pole. They look at these things separately, and you don't need to. Throw them in the hopper, because it's all coming from the same fountain. It really is. And I go, God, why can't they see it? I don't want to be mean to them, but God, it's frustrating, Terry. I'm telling you.
You know why? You know why? Squirrel. Remember?
Oh, the distractions.
Yeah. Remember, those of you out there in the audience, I'm referring to the Disney movie Up. There was a little puppy dog who wound out and turned out to be one of the heroes. And like most puppy dogs, he was very intense and very courageous and very loyal until he saw a squirrel. And then he was running off after it. But he came right back again. And sometimes he was smart enough not to run. What we've got, ladies and gentlemen, is a media and a presidency and a Senate that is throwing the squirrels in front of you. So you will run after the squirrel. So you will not notice the great big bear standing behind you with his claws out. That's
true.
Part of this whole, the entire, did you see the link that I put up? Thank you, by the way, Bill Strong, who's in our chat room, for putting it on Facebook. I shared it. And it was, I actually got it from Kevin Grady on the Patriot Families page on Facebook, the case in 2010-2011 where there was an older black man beaten to death by the white son of a local sheriff, and Zimmerman was walking around town handing out flyers, rallying people to get justice for the black guy who got killed haul the little white kid's ass into jail where it belonged. So, you know, this, and people need to pay attention, and they have to stop believing every stupid word they hear on television. I mean,
oh my God.
If I'm saying something stupid that I can't verify by fact or by my own life experience, then you have not only the right, you have the duty to tell me I'm full of you-know-what and challenge me on it. Because if we do not do that, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a personal attack. Well, you're a nasty old white lady, or you're a mean little black kid, or you're a filthy, disgusting. It just has to be based on, okay, this is what I've seen. This is what I know. This is what I can show you. Now, if you don't see any truth to that, fine. Then you can go join some other people who think it's true. But you do not need to be around me. I mean, I don't like the agree to disagree crap, because that doesn't mean anything. If you cannot see truth when it walks up and spits in your eye, I would suggest you either go to a good optometrist or move somewhere where everybody else is blind.
Yep. Oh, I know. Well, you know, the media and the people like that idiot Piers Morgan and a host of others, the Bill Maher's, the rest of them, and the Sharptons and the Jessies, it's our own DOJ and our own, POS and the WH. That's what I call them.
It's fake.
I mean, they're race baiting. It's unbelievable.
Well, the whole thing is, unfortunately, do you remember the cartoon, the funny paper cartoon, Little Abner?
Vaguely. I do remember it.
By Al Capp? Yeah. Well, Al Capp was the cartoonist who started Little Abner. And back in the 30s and 40s, he got into a heck of a lot of trouble with the newspapers that published his comic strip because he tended to lean left in his remarks. And, everybody got on his case, and the powers that be weren't left-leaning at that time and screamed it, but they never, kicked him off the paper. There were a lot of nasty editorials and so on and so forth. Well, about 40 years later, he started, having had some life experience, his characters sounded more like, say, Ted Cruz. So the left side started vilifying him like crazy because he'd grown up.
I couldn't win.
He had grown up. And when you grow up, you realize that the wonderful utopian Agenda 21, community-based this, Common Core crap is garbage, because you can't do it with live thinking people. You can only do it with numbers and utopian that fail every doggone time.
Yeah, these New World Order, United Nations clowns, I don't know where they're coming from, but these are the Gaia worshippers. I'm sure there's a whole mix of crazy, cult-type things
that
they belong to.
Well, the bad part, too, Linda, not all pagans are idiots, okay? Not all Wiccans are crazy fools. Not all Muslims are terrorists. Not all Catholics are, members of the Inquisition and idolize the Dominicans and can't wait to burn people in an auto da fe. You can't put people in these doggone
boxes.
But
they do it every time.
They have to, because to them, people are not important other than as fodder. They groupthink because it's groupthink that gets them.
They have to be a part of a group, right.
And that's the only way they can measure and target voting blocks. They can't focus on individuals. They can't, because they need numbers, and they need stupid numbers. So the only way they can do that is to focus on people who, without that group feel of huggy-wuggy, oh, somebody loves me, wouldn't be able to tie their own shoes twice in a row.
Right. I think half the Congress can't tie their own shoes either. They're making me lose it.
They are, when it comes to their own power and their own pockets, they are pigs, but they're just not as bright. Pigs are very smart. Congress isn't.
I get it. I agree with you.
David raised me. I didn't, but I learned about them from him. They are smarter than dogs. They're right up there, almost at the level of chimpanzees and the great apes. So to call our congressmen pigs, you really have to make the qualifications. They may be piggish in their eating habits, but they're nowhere near as smart as a pig.
That's funny. Oh, I know, because they're. And I can't even call them baboons. I think baboons have more adaptability than those clowns. Oh, yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're talking about the educational system, and you back in time, and I know that we have back then had smaller groups of people in smaller cities and towns and townships, but if you use the same premise and the same maybe ideology of forming something, why couldn't you still use the free market and take the damn government out of it all and let the parents and the kids and the teachers and let the free market decide what's a good product for these customers? Because the parents and the kids are the customers.
That's right. They can't.
It's capitalism. You need a good product, and they'll fail if they don't get your kids smart.
It's because they want you to believe. I don't mean you personally, Linda, because you're too smart to fall for it, but they want the general public that doesn't pay any attention to anything except when's the next paycheck so we can go out to eat, get a new car, and buy a new computer. That group, they want them to believe that capitalism is the old 1880s cartoon of the big fat guy in the suit and the vest with a watch chain and a cigar stomping all over the little worker. That is their only pathway to create those disenchanted groups. In general, and I'm going to go into my own evolved political theory here, and it isn't based on Marx or anybody else. It's based on my perceptions and my intuition. Mm-hmm. Most people who go gaga for liberals, the old Democratic mm-hmm. Party all the way through the crazy one we've got now, are unsuccessful in the system. You have the fringe of people who have inherited wealth or who've managed to parlay their crazy ideas into academia, who are quite well off. But the vast majority of the voting bloc they look for are the people who have not made it in the system, because those people want change. They don't give a rat's backside what kind of change. They just know they're not making it now. Somebody else who's promising them they're going to, they're all for it. Because the reason they're not making it is because they cannot adapt. They cannot leave behind behaviors that cause them to be unsuccessful in the workplace or in society. But if somebody comes along and pets them and tells them they're wonderful and it's everybody else's fault they haven't made it, they are predisposed to believe it, because making an effort to change is something that, oh, no, you're disrespecting me. That is the block that fall like ripe blackberries into the hands of progressives. and there are enough of them in American cities. That
sure.
map, you look at that damn map, and you see where those little ripe blackberries are all clustering together, and that is not intended
yeah.
to be a racial slur. I can
right.
call them cherries or plums if I wanted to. I just happened to have been picking blackberries yesterday, so that's why that image stayed in my mind. But you cannot do what progressives want to do with this nation until you have an entire group of people across the board who are mm-hmm. seeking someone to take the burden of choice away from them. They don't want a choice, no matter how much they talk about it. When you make
yeah.
that choice to abort your baby, you are choosing not to take responsibility for your own actions. That's the kind
right.
of choice they want. They want the choice that says it's
right.
somebody else's fault. Somebody else can
right.
raise this kid, or I want somebody else to take it away from me so I don't have to do it. I do
right.
not be, the thing that annoys me the most about the left and their dogma and sermon of choice,
mm-hmm.
it isn't a choice. Choice means I want this apple, and if I bite it and there's a worm, oops, I picked the wrong damn apple. They want every apple is exactly the same, so it doesn't matter which apple you choose, it's going to be wonderful. That is not choice. But the people
well,
who vote
possible.
For them, yes, people who vote for them don't know that. They have no clue
oh my
that
God.
You are not going to, I'm not kidding you. I have talked with them just as you have. And I see the beginnings when they're 12, 13, and 14 years old.
Oh, geez.
I see the
yeah,
eighth
you would.
Graders.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is what's going to wind up in the voting booth in another 5 or 6 years, voting for
well,
people who make laws that affect me. Damn right. Is pardon my French. Do you wonder why I keep doing what I do? It does.
I get that. Oh, yeah.
There
it does
is
make
a
difference.
Tangible. That's right. I don't have to wait until they're 25 because I see
oh, my
them on
God.
The
that's
way
too
out.
Late.
Exactly.
Well,
I
here's
know
the thing.
They're
going
to be out there voting at 18.
When these progressives denote capitalism with their propaganda, that's what it is, and they have the big guy in the big top hat and the cigar and the monocle, that's not, see, they're lying to them. That's not capitalism.
Exactly.
That's mercantilism.
No, it isn't. That's right.
Yep, that's what we call today fascism, because this is corporate, you know, some people are too big to fail nonsense, and everybody's commingled with the government. You see, and intertwined
exactly.
where it never should be. Absolutely, because that's exactly what Mussolini did.
It's a cross between Mussolini's fascism and the cooperatives of the Soviet Union. They are trying to create a hybrid creature, and what they've got is
yes.
a chimera. That's what they've got. If you know the mythical being, the chimera.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
It is a hodgepodge, squished together batch of several different animals, ugly as sin, totally incapable of caring
uh-huh.
it for itself, and scares everybody. That's what they're trying to create. They're taking all of this lovely poisoned fruit and making a fruit salad and serving it to people who are so blessed hungry to have somebody else pick up the spoon and feed them with it because, oh my God, they just can't lift it. They will gobble it up. 99% of the people who follow the liberal causes who are not
mm-hmm.
fuzzy-headed academics, who are either middle class or lower middle class
mm-hmm.
or poor, do so because the whole point of their lives is not to have choice, because choice implies responsibility. I see
oh
this
my God.
With a kid. The number of times, and this comes right back to what we were talking about earlier about community involved in education. When
right.
you're raising your children within a family, your children learn that there are consequences for beating up on your little brother.
Oh, yeah.
You get your butt smacked. Okay, we're creating a public education system where there are no consequences. The excuse,
know,
well, he
hard.
Talked to me, or I come from a broken home, or my mommy doesn't like me, or I have a behavioral disability, are meaning I can do anything I damn well please, and nobody can do anything about it.
Right.
And
I have
had so many kids, and it isn't just the ones who authentically do have
right.
these things going on. It's the ones who don't, who see it, and they find a hook to blame somebody else for their own
sure.
inability to try.
Well,
it,
here's the sadness of this
epidemic.
Whole thing. Whether it's a child or whether it's a young adult or the other generations, if they're buying into this nonsense about there are no consequences, wait till they see the consequences of allowing these people to foment Agenda 21 in their lives. Oh, they'll love those consequences.
Oh, yeah.
That will be one piece of
but
health
by that
living.
Time, yeah, by
it's
that time.
It's too late.
That's right. Because the ones who would have fought if somebody had told them it was necessary in a loud enough way that overcame the sound of munching the fruit salad, they didn't hear it. I'm sorry, you know. And if you remember in Agenda 21, when they escaped, there were still people who were resisting. And that will always be the case. This is why...
Right.
On this show and when I deal with, you know, discussions with fuzzy-minded, idiotic, liberal people, I don't lose hope because they are not the entire world, darling. People have
right.
more. I believe that the human spirit is what mirrors God. And I doubt very much whether the Almighty created us to be idiots. And I really don't think that the vast majority of us are. It's only, unfortunately, when we start to feel the thorn sticking in us that we figure out, wait a minute, maybe I better cut back the rose bush. We are not particularly interested in things that do not personally affect us. This is not bad. This is not good. It is merely
right.
the way human beings
the way
react.
It is.
And when something starts to affect you, all of a sudden you stand up on your hind legs and you say, now wait just a damn minute. You
right.
can't do that. That happened in 1775. Okay?
Yep, it did.
And it happened in 1941.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
It happened over and over and over
yes,
and
it does.
Over again. And unfortunately, the old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times, seemed to be flying in our way at the moment. But I mean
yeah.
nasty and horrible, a wicked old witch, and I'll be doggone if I'm going to lie down and moan and groan and say, I give up. I don't.
Right.
And you know,
I think you're right, because I know that I think even Ron talked about this one, about that. When you look at the people in Delaney and you look at the people in other parts of the heartland of this country, outside these mega cities and the areas of the elitists, et cetera, you realize that America is not that small group of yachts and Beverly Hills and, you know, dripping with
no,
money.
No, it isn't.
Now,
it isn't.
There's nothing wrong with having a yacht. I would like to probably be on one once and drink some fancy champagne, but... Because mm-hmm. it's something one acquired, and hopefully legally, you know,
yep.
and honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
I understand because we do have a fantastic diversity. There are different echelons of wealth. I mean, some people, like, we're very comfortable in our, what some people call poverty. My God,
yep.
I'm 40 pounds overweight. If I'm
yep.
poor, that's craziness.
This is
something's wrong with that picture.
Sweetie, this is the only country in the world that advertises the fact that it has an obesity problem among the poor.
It's crazy, I know.
Yes, it is.
It's actually a lack of exercise problem.
Yeah, well, the thing is, too, we do not know, because the vast majority of us have never actually lived in places where real poverty exists. Most of us think of poverty as, oh, gee, he doesn't have a car, or she can't get a new TV, or
oh,
so-and-so.
But I've seen it, because I'm close to the border. I know how
yes.
bad it is in Tijuana. It's horrible. I've seen it, where the children beg, and they have cleft lips, and they've never been operated on. Oh, and they're barefoot, and they're dirty, and they're disgusting. I mean, not the children, of course, but the poverty and the shacks they live in all along the highways. It's a mess. They are very poor. And there's
yes,
no way out for them.
Well, I have a friend who served in Vietnam. And the thing that, to this day, makes him absolutely delighted is that all he has to do is to walk into a Kmart, a Target, a Martin's grocery store, a Food Lion,
mm-hmm.
and the wealth of everything is in front of him. Because he spent two tours in a place where they had to put gars on the garbage trucks to actually get them all the way
yeah.
to the dump before people scavenged everything off the garbage.
Sure.
Unless you, I remember a case of, there were several young Haitian men who were imprisoned in New York who were illegal. This was so maybe 10, 12 years ago. And
mm-hmm.
they were deported back to Haiti. And begged and pleaded, please don't send us back there. Now, they were all about this, that, and the other. Well, they got back there, and one or two of them managed to, you know, get away and get back and applied for citizenship and so on and so forth. And he said, oh, my God, I'd rather be here and in jail than in the best house in the village down there. You don't ever want to be in jail in Haiti. I mean, you've got a hole in the floor. That's it. You don't have anything. You don't have medical care. You don't have a prison doctor. You don't have, you know, a nice bunk with a urinal and a sink. You have a dirt floor with a hole in it, with four walls and a barred door. That's all you have. We are so spoiled, but unfortunately, we have ahead of us, I think, the possibility, the very real possibility, that a lot of the material things we depend on are not going to be here, or they're not going to be available to us because the combination of all of the inflationary procedures, the money people, that and the other, our systems of government are in the process of trying to prove themselves. And our
personal
system, our system, as it was originally intended, would weather this kind of storm. But it has been tweaked and twitched and expanded.
And bastardized and destroyed.
With, so much that unless we start paying attention to who we send up there as part of it immediately, I mean yesterday,
may not.
Because what they're creating will fall. As every other idiotic system that tried to promote what they're saying is our own good has fallen.
I know.
Because no matter what, you are not going to turn people into cogs in the social machine. It only works for a short period of time.
I think it was on, it was either in the newspaper or one of those that I had sent out a tweet because they were talking about different things, whether it was Agenda 21 or Amnesty or all the rest of it. Anyway, I've done so many this week, I can't remember. But whoever I was addressing it to, I'm sure that they're sending my name to Big Sis while she's still there. Because I called our system right now, because of its failure, a banana republic. I'm done with these people. I'm not pulling any punches anymore. This is the way I feel we're being treated. When they start deciding what laws they're going to enforce and which businesses get to fail and not, that's not even close to being a representative republic or a rule of law. It's almost closer to anarchy because there's no rule of law anymore. It's disgusting. And some of these people, you know, like the Trey Gowdies and the Daryl Ices and a couple of them, they care, but it's like the wheels of justice up there is just working a little too slow because the other side's going at warp speed. You know, that's what's going on, and it's terrifying. It's like, wait a minute, we're not fighting fire with fire here. We've got this tiny little bucket, and
exactly.
But the water pressure, it's horrible. So somebody
Rod was saying, in the, you know, the Hitler's regime went after the ministers and the lawyers and the teachers, and yes, he did, and he targeted them to be eliminated because they would speak out. They were the ones who'd say, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense, or wait a minute, are you sure you really want this? And, of course, he eliminated them, and by the time he had eliminated enough of them and frightened people enough into the terror of saying anything, they would have the Gestapo wind up knocking on your door in the middle of the night or breaking it in. He had total control over his country with his armies, etc.
So did Stalin. He did the same thing.
It took it took the outside alliance of the free Western nations to stop it. The difference, I guess you could say, between then and now is, and this is sounds small, but it really isn't. The difference is we have a way to communicate much more quickly and more readily and more widely than ever anybody had. And it's very difficult unless they eliminate with an EMP or something of that nature to stop people telling each other, wait a minute, this isn't right, given what we have now. Now, obviously, There are worst-case scenarios where you could have the entire world's electricity knocked out in order that whoever's left after we've all killed each other over the last crust of bread can rule over a devastated planet. And I'm not saying that can't happen. I've read plenty of dystopian novels, and I know that our imaginations, which also come from our Creator, sometimes carry us to incredible lengths. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea is to prepare for the expect the best and prepare for the worst. And if you're lucky, the worst won't happen in your lifetime. But sometimes it does. But my consideration, my gleam of hope, I guess, is not so much for myself alone. I only have so many more years in the natural progression of things. But I believe that the human spirit does triumph. It does throw off the desire to turn us into the ant-like Plato's Republic. I believe that if I go out screaming and I'm locked up somewhere and they bash me over the head or whatever because I'm speaking treason or whatever, there'll be somebody out there, not necessarily related to me, but somebody young who has the energy to run faster than I do, and they will get away from the central control and they will make a resurgence because it has happened over and over and over again.
I know.
It's frustrating to live in, quote-unquote, interesting times. And I worry about my grandkids. But then I think, well, doggone it, lady, you've survived thus far, even though they're not mine by blood. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Look at how long their grandfather survived and what went on for him. That's tough stock. And we are all tough stock. Consider where we originally come from.
I know.
Think about that.
You know, when you talk about the resurgence, this is why, like what you do, of course, and all of us educating each other and ourselves and others is so important, because if we don't carry what those founders gave us with us, whoever, like I said, whoever makes it through this wormhole and wants to do another resurgence of freedom, you better have some written material with you, a clear head and a calmness of spirit to go forward.
Well, I'm counting on the fact that if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, I'll make my way to Delaney, and I think Bill will give me a job teaching the kids, because I've got a whole bunch of stuff memorized, and I can write it down for future generations.
Absolutely. Oh, God, that would be so cool. Yeah, I mean, and you know how you affect those little munchkins. They will be glued to you, which is fabulous. And it was so cute to see the little faces. You know, it was just so cute, and I love it because they wanted to hear what you. Oh, it was just, to me, it just made my heart swell to see that wanting, that thirst for knowledge. Yeah,
it's why I keep doing what I do, Linda. Old and crazy as I am.
I agree.
And I'd probably be there for entertainment purposes, too. They just have to watch me try to go down a flight of stairs without falling. That'd get everybody to laugh.
Of course. Oh, my God. That's funny.
My father's favorite nickname for me was Clumsy Carp from the BC cartoon.
Aww.
Well, it was accurate. But I'm like you, oh, graceful dancer. I am not. But
that's okay.
Because
you got plenty of stuff I don't have. So,
That's what
you know. You're gifted in so many ways.
That's what makes life so fascinating, Hannah. We all have our gifts, and when we have a community, as we had at Delaney, or any community, those gifts are what we put together to teach our kids with. Those who have the gift of conveying knowledge, so that the children's eyes light up and the light bulb goes on. You can no more not teach if you are born that way than you can all of a sudden sprout an extra pair of legs and become a horse. Although you can call me pony, because I am a little horse today. But there is no way that you can, in effect, be redesigned out of who you were born to be.
Right.
You can be warped and twisted and blocked and everything else, but you will still be you. For whatever purpose, you will still be that child of God you were created to be. Your life and your plan may not go where you think it is. One of the hardest things I have to convey to the kids that I work with, they are all, like progressives, 12, 13. They always assume that the future they envision, what they're going to do, is going to come to pass. Because their lives right now are very predictable. They're made safe and predictable by their families, by the school, by the same routine, by the plug me in my hair dryer and hot air comes out. turn on the television and entertainment comes out. Everything is going to work like that in their future. They have not got enough life experience
right.
or enough intellectual reasoning ability yet to understand that, yeah, I need you to drive a tractor on your dad's farm, but what happens if there's a weather problem, a major difficulty, and that farm won't grow anything anymore? What are you going to do? Your skill is totally valueless. They can't understand this because they are not adults. And yet we are trying to give them tools
I know.
That they cannot see the value for because they have no experience of what can happen when you don't get to be the all-star quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams or the Washington Redskins.
Right.
Not everybody gets there. They can't
right.
see this because their lives to this point have been protected and circumscribed by the fences and prohibitions we put to keep them safe. They, even the ones who are most likely to know this, are the street kids in Calcutta. The kids who, they don't count on tomorrow's meal because they're going to have to scrounge for it themselves. We
right.
have done everything we can to eliminate that kind of poverty, and we've come damn close to doing it. But in the process, we have basically attempted to convince people, because we take care of one another, that poverty doesn't exist. What we call poverty is incredible riches to some kid
right.
on the streets of Calcutta. I mean,
of
you
course.
know, the poverty
or
of
Rwanda
in,
or Syria.
Yeah. The poverty of people in economic assisted housing, you know, income based housing,
mm-hmm.
and they're whining about their poverty. My God, you get any family out of a country village who isn't a member of the higher caste, even to this
mm-hmm.
day, you put them in one of those apartments, they think they died and gone to heaven.
I know.
We do
Absolutely.
Not understand what real poverty
nope.
is. We do not understand what real ignorance is. We have no
oh,
clue.
Oh, I do. It's called Pelosi.
Well, we have examples of it, but, you know, those we have. But we don't intellectually understand the kind
yeah,
of ignorance that can exist. Because even if you're not very good at reading or this, that, and the other, the kids that are flunking English can probably tell you on every play on every pro
mm-hmm.
and college basketball team
sure.
in the damn country.
And they say, yeah. So they're not stupid. They're just, yeah,
no.
limited.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they have not got the ability to see that because they haven't lived long enough. That's our job.
Exactly.
Our job is...
And I'm going to let you wrap it up because we're almost... Are you almost out of time?
Yeah, pretty close, darling. We're down to about 3 minutes. And I apologize
okay.
again for my lack of voice. I hope you could hear me today.
Oh, it
so.
Was okay. All right,
all
love.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in, dear heart. And everybody
God
in
bless.
The chat room, thank you. Same to you, sweetie. Everybody who came into the chat, Bill and Linda and Rod and Sparky was here for a while, and my friend Yolanda, and all you folks out there listening, I believe in you because I believe each and every one of you has that human spirit and that you will not lie down and become a doormat for anybody. You will stand up until the only way you're going to be a doormat is if you're a dead one. And that belief, that hope, keeps me doing this show, keeps me doing my job, and keeps me believing, even if I don't hang around long enough to see it, that this nation and its values are of the world. As always, all my love to my biggest fan. And here's a little promotional view of what you have to listen to here on Blog Talk Radio from Patriot Families. Please join us next week for Patriot Education at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and visit our website. Blessed be everyone. Take care.
Blog Talk Radio and Patriot Family is where you need to be if you want to be informed and inspired 5 days a week. On Monday at 7:30 p.m., you can listen to the Constitution Hour. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Family Chat. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday at 6 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Education. And on Friday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Exposed But Never Forgotten. All times are Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you there.
Good night, everyone. Have a wonderful evening.